probably noticed as you came in the sign grateful. This is the month that I want to encourage you to make a dedicated effort, be intentional about giving thanks to God. When November comes around, I do not just look forward to that one day called Thanksgiving Day where we meet with family and friends and celebrate God's goodness. But I make a commitment from November 1st all the way to the 30th to give thanks every day. As a matter of fact, in my calendar, if you opened up my calendar for this year, next year, the years to come, it'll always start off, give thanks every day. And so that's a reminder for us. I am very, very thankful to be here. I'm thankful for a church who has caught the vision for missions. We've been talking about giants over the last couple of weeks. As Pastor Andrew said, we're summing up today. Giants stand in our way, and they want to keep us from giving. See, thanksgiving is about giving thanks. It's a season where we recognize how much God has given to us, and therefore we want to give in response to His great grace that He's poured out to us. And I was thanking the Lord this past week just for a church family that really has caught the vision, is willing to give. But there's giants that really keep us from giving. It keeps us from giving our heart to the Lord. These giants will keep us from giving our time to serve in various capacities. These giants will keep us from giving financially to others who are in need, and we're standing against those giants. Pastor Jeff and I are going to share the platform today. I'm going to just set it up by talking to you about two steps that God has called us to as followers of Him with regards to these giants that all of us have in our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It says this: "When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to possess." Now, in the Old Testament, there's a land that is talked about. It's called the land of Canaan. It's also called the Promised Land, a land of milk and honey, a land of mountains and valleys. It's a prosperous land. And that was the land that the Old Testament referred to when it talked about the promise that was given to Israel. But there's a promise that's also given to you and given to me. God has a promise. God has a plan for you. There's a future for you. And He says, as you reach the point where you're going to possess the land, He says this: "I'm going to drive out before you many nations, the Hittites, Gerizzites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations in all." There's many giants that we face, but here's what He says in verse 2. Our first step is that we have to conquer them. He says, "And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show no mercy." Would you agree with me if I said we all have giants that we face? We all have giants that we face. And in order to possess the promise that God has given to us, we have to dispossess, we have to defeat, conquer the giant that is standing between the promise, and the giant is the problem, and it stands between us and the promise that God's given to us. And we have to deal with the problem. We've got to stop ignoring it. We've got to stop looking at it as though it's a pink elephant in the room. We have to say, "God, give me strength to deal with the giants that keep me from becoming and experiencing all that you have." I was, in thinking about this, I thought about a scripture that you probably heard about. It's from Numbers chapter 13, 31 through 33. It's about the spies who were sent into the Canaan land. There were 12 of them. They all came back and gave a report. 10 of them had a negative report, and this is what the 10 said: "We can't go up and attack these people. They're stronger than we are." Now, that's what a giant is, stronger than you. You're unable to take care and deal with the giants in your life without God's help. "They're stronger than we are. All the people we saw there are of great size. They were giants. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. and we looked the same to them. You know, when you're confronting a giant, you'll always see something that's bigger than you are. Giants make you feel small when you compare yourself to the task that is at hand. Giants can blind you to God's view of you, and they can lock you into your view of yourself. This word self-esteem is not a bad word, but in a biblical context, your self-esteem has to include God. Because if you don't include God in your life, you'll only see yourself through your eyes and through your opponent's eyes. But the challenge that we have in defeating these giants is to discover how God sees us so that we can step out in faith on the basis of what He says about us. Listen, the truest thing that will ever be said about you is what God says about you. It's not what your friends say about you. It's not what someone else says about you. It's not what your enemies say about you. It's what does God say about you. So we've got to hear His voice. Giants, they are the problem that stands between us and the promise that God has given to us. But we're not called just to conquer giants in our life. We're called to build spiritual giants. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10 says this, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you." Now let me pause and say, that's missions. That's what we have been commissioned to do. It's not very complex. Go, do, say. Would you say those three words with me? Go, do, say. Go where I tell you to go. Do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. It's as simple as that. Christianity doesn't get any more complicated than that. Go, do, say. Don't be afraid of people. I'm going to be with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out His hand, touched His mouth, and said to me, Jeremiah speaking, "I have put my words in your mouth. See today," God says, "I appoint you over nations, kingdoms, to uproot, tear down, destroy, and overthrow." That's the conquering part. Got to conquer these giants. Whatever is hindering you from giving your whole heart to the Lord, whatever is hindering you from using your finances to bless His kingdom, whatever is hindering you to give of your time to serve in some capacity and use your gifts, we got to destroy that. Tear that down. But then the next stage is to build and to plant. First of all, destroy, tear down, overthrow, but then to build and to plant. Jeff's going to come up in just a second, and he's going to talk to us about how the disciples were led by God to overcome the giants they faced and to build spiritual giants in the land. Let me just tell you this quick story. There was a well-known leader years and years ago in the Christian community who went through a severe depression. It was so dark that they had contemplated suicide. Not that they would ever have committed suicide, but those thoughts ran through this leader's mind. They were so weak and fragile and on the edge that they couldn't even pray. All they could do is speak the name of Jesus. And so they did that. That's where we sing songs and we know there's power in the name of Jesus, because He is the one that leads us to the Father. Matter of fact, He's the way, the only way to the Father. And so this person, this leader, spoke the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, this darkness that surrounded them started to move backwards. And as it began to leave, every time they spoke the name of Jesus, they recognized that these were demonic powers sent to keep them. Giants in the spiritual realm were sent to defeat and keep them captive, keep this person captive. Jesus stepped back. Jesus. Finally, the darkness left. This leader felt as if they were free. Just like we sang today, "You freed me. Now I can worship you." But then they heard the voice of the Lord say, "You're not done." What do you mean? Speak the name of Jesus. Spoke it, Jesus. And all of a sudden, this angelic light began to take one step closer. Jesus, Jesus. And this angelic host, this light, began to surround them. This was a vision that this person had as they spoke. See, it's not just about pushing darkness back. It's about bringing the kingdom of God close. And that's what missions is all about. It's, oh God, we give our all, we lay it all before you so that darkness can be pushed back, giants can be conquered, and your kingdom can be established so that now we can build spiritual giants. Pastor Jeff, come and talk to us how the disciples did that, how we are able to do that as a church.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, at least you got more claps than I did, so, you know, hey.
They clapped for you, just Andrew had to tell them to. Well, good morning. If you guys have been around, you know that this year we've been talking about love, and that each of those letters kind of represents something that we believe God has called us to as a church, and the E stands for evangelism. And we've talked about evangelism. Evangelism simply means sharing the good news, right, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that those who put their faith in him will not perish, right, but have eternal life with God. And so before this series on missions, we just talked about being contagious and kind of that we are individually, each of us is called to be contagious, to spread that kingdom with those around us. And then we kind of move from talking about being contagious to the series called Giants, which really is about missions. And missions just means doing that, being contagious, but doing it cross-culturally. And we just know that throughout Scripture, that God has a heart for the nations. This isn't something that we just get excited about. We get excited about it, but we get excited about it because God cares. And God has a heart for the nations, and God has a heart and a love for people of every color, of every nationality, of every language, of every people group, of every tribe. God loves them and wants to see them come and to know him fully. And so I just want to quickly just kind of tell you guys three quick stories that talk about giants and how, kind of as Tim talked about, the giants that we are to tackle giants. If you've been through the walk through the missions thing, I mean, there's global giants. And we believe that the greatest global giant is spiritual darkness, that people have not heard about Jesus. That's the greatest kind of injustice that there is in this world. And we talk about some of our giants, materialism, comfort, ease. There's other giants we could talk about, maybe fear, that we need to tackle as well. And as we tackle those giants, God begins to, as Tim said, grow and develop spiritual giants. So I want to tell you three stories. One's from a couple thousand years ago, another one from about 150 years ago, and then another from today. If we back up 2,000 years and we look at the 12 disciples that Jesus called to follow after him, we see that after Jesus had spent the about 3 years with them, discipling them, mentoring them, teaching them, calling them into ministry, and then we see Jesus get arrested, go to trial, get beaten, and eventually be crucified on a cross, we see that group go into hiding. They're full of fear. They're scared. They're lost. They're hopeless. They don't know what to do. If we fast forward from that story a little ways, we see this group of followers after Jesus who are bold and audacious and willing to put anything and everything at risk for the sake of the gospel. And what was it that changed between those few days when Jesus was dead and the moment where they just have this bold faith and they're willing to be put to death for the gospel and the sake of the gospel? And I think there's four things that we see in that, and you can kind of follow and trace the story through the Gospels and through the book of Acts. But the four things that happened, they saw a resurrected Christ. They saw Jesus resurrected, and they had an encounter with a resurrected Jesus. And they placed their faith and hope and trust in him, and they had this new understanding about the nature of salvation and the nature of God's forgiveness. And so this is kind of the first thing that happened. Then they spent a little time with Jesus, and before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gives them a task. And he tells them, he says, he puts them on a mission. We call it the Great Commission. He says, your job now is to go and tell others. Go to the furthest parts of the earth and tell others about me so they can experience this same salvation. If we fast forward a couple more chapters and get into the book of Acts, we see that then they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to go boldly. And then when we look through the book of Acts, we see that then they are supported and sent out by the local church. And I think those four things moved them from that place of being in hiding, afraid, and scared to being bold and proclaiming the gospel wherever they went, because they encountered a resurrected Jesus. They were put on mission by Christ. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then they were supported by the local church. And this is in a time where people didn't travel. People didn't go very far from their home. It was quite challenging to do so. And so I just wanted to share this quote with you. It's from a book called Wild Goose Chase, which is in Celtic Christianity, they nicknamed the Holy Spirit the Wild Goose. And it's kind of this imagery of the mystery of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit leads us into places of adventure, places that require us to be brave, places that require us to take risk. And he says this about those initial disciples. He said, in a day when the average person never traveled outside a 35-mile radius from his home, right, that's what's at Fresno, right? The average person never went beyond 35 miles. Jesus sent his disciples to the four corners of the ancient world. These ordinary fishermen, who otherwise would have lived and died within sight of the Sea of Galilee, were sent to the ends of the earth as they knew it. What a wild goose chase. According to the 3rd century historian Eusebius, Peter sailed to Italy, John ended up in Asia, James, the son of Zebedee, traveled as far as Spain, and even doubting Thomas chased the wild goose all the way to India. Most people never went beyond 30, 35 miles from their home, and here we have Thomas, over 3,000 miles that he traveled. And, you know, Care India, where they're located, one of our ministry partners in Chennai, there's where Thomas went, and he's buried there, and he traveled that far. Why? Because he had experienced the resurrected Christ. He'd been put on mission, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then he was supported by the local church to be able to do that. Second story, a couple years ago, I met a guy named David, and David is from India and from a region of India called Nagaland, and Nagaland is in the northern part of India. It's you know, if you look at India, India is predominantly Hindu. It's around 2%, most would say 2% Christian. There's over 1 billion people that live in this nation. And then the region where he lives, there's Hinduism, but then there's also, because it's far north, there's Islam and Buddhism that kind of are all around that region. And I kind of had this conversation with David and start to understand that Nagaland, where he's from, is 90% Christian. And I was like, well, this is so strange, because the rest of the continent is 2%. And why is this the case? And about 150 years ago, there was a missionary from England who went to Nagaland. He was sent out by the local church. He went and he started to work among these tribespeople. He had favor. He ended up converting some people. Some people came to Christ. Some of the village chiefs came to Christ. And all of a sudden, Christianity explodes in this region. And you have this change in the history of that entire region of India because somebody went and he was sent. Why did he go? Why did this missionary go? He'd encountered the resurrected Christ. Right? He'd been put on commission by Jesus, and he understood the Great Commission. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then he was sent out and supported by the local church. And you see this change happen. And as David was telling me this story, realizing that David is now a missionary in Uzbekistan, and he is now working as a missionary from Nagaland with Muslims in and around Uzbekistan. And how cool is that story that 150 years ago, because somebody went and they were sent, there's this entire change in this entire region that's now sending missionaries out to places where they haven't heard about Jesus. And so David is in Uzbekistan now working with Muslims sent out from Nagaland in India. And as I was talking with David, it just made me think, what does the world look like 150 years now from now because of you and because of me? And who will know Christ 150 years from now because of what we do and how we use our money, how we invest things? And if we say, I might not be called to go, but I'm called to give, and I'm called to be a part of this. And why am I motivated to do this? Because I've met a resurrected Savior. I found salvation in Jesus. I understand that we've been given this great commission, this mission we've been put on by Christ. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm willing to give things up so that this can happen, because I believe God wants to use Koinonia to build spiritual giants in other places. And I believe that 150 years from now, long past us being here, that our impact will still resonate in these places where we are investing resources. And I truly believe that. And so that's the third story is today and what we are doing. And so hopefully you got this when you came in. I just want to take just a quick moment and just look at this and just talk about the giants that are being built, that God is forming as we partner with him and partner with these ministries, because we believe significant things are happening in the world as we do this. And so just quickly, let's highlight these real quick. Care India. If you were here last week, we were able to chat with PV John. PV founded Care India and is continuing to direct the ministry there. Care India has 100 churches that have been planted. Again, this is in an area that is predominantly Hindu, and there's a Hindu government that is very anti-Christian growth, anti-the church. There's potential persecution. There's 100 churches that have been planted. These pastors that are being supported through Care India, they go out and they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. PV started this ministry by preaching in a village under a streetlight and just talking about the goodness and grace of God found in Jesus Christ, and people started to respond to the gospel. Now there's over 100 churches. There's orphans and widows that are supported. There's girls now that Care India has come alongside and say, hey, your daughter matters to families, and we want to help her stay in school. Don't send her to the fields to pick peanuts, which literally is what happens in India. They say, we'll help financially support her schooling, so that she can stay in school and break the chains of poverty that we see in this country and elevate the status of women in this country. Things like that are happening through Care India. They drill bore wells for clean drinking water. They feed people who are hungry. Significant things are happening in India. In Mexico, there's a ministry just past Ensenada in just a little village on a hill where they're feeding kids and expressing the love of Jesus to them. And every day kids come to this place and they get fed. We believe as they get fed physically, they're also being fed spiritually. And the government, local government, has looked at this ministry and this food program and said, hey, we see this as a model. Well, we want you to open another one. And so the plans are to open another one. And the government says, talk about Jesus all you want. We think that's great. We'll still partner with you. And so we're partnering down there with Helping Hands in Baja. In Cambodia, there's Phnom Kul Orphan Home that we sponsor as well, where there's about 40 kids that are orphans, and they are being raised and taught about Jesus. And I've been to about 3 of these different orphan homes. The organization's called Four Square Children of Promise. They have about 100 homes throughout the country, and these homes are also places where it's the local church meets. And these kids, just they grow up as leaders. They grow up kind of leading worship and praying. And if you're around these kids, some of you have been there, and these kids can pray and worship. I mean, it will move you to hear these children. And just know that this is a place where most people don't know Jesus and have never heard Jesus. We believe that these kids are going to impact their country. In Ethiopia, we're investing in Victory Bible School, and Victory Bible is training and developing pastors and leaders. And we believe that godly leaders are crucial in the world. We believe that godly leaders are so important because we believe that godly leaders bring about godly change in their own communities. And so we're investing in leaders there. The next one there, Mozambique, that's the Acton family. That would be myself and my family. And just kind of to clear this up, because I've had a lot of questions, is that we're not just going on a summer trip. And I guess the way I wrote our first little thing, it sounded like we were going for the summer, but we are moving to Mozambique as long-term missionaries and planning to go in the summer. And so we're being kind of going out from Koinonia as a part of that. And we believe, again, that same thing about leaders and developing leaders. And we believe that as we invest in leaders, that they will change their nation for Christ. We also will be a part of a soccer ministry and a special needs ministry. And then there at the bottom, we have just our local outreaches that happen here in Hanford and Kings County. We have the King's Pantry that every Wednesday and Friday, we give food away to those in need. We're able to pray for them and support people. We have people that go into the jail to share the gospel with those who are in the jail. Crossroads Pregnancy Center comes alongside women and just kind of single moms and just say, hey, we want to support you and help you through this process. Soup Kitchen, the Episcopal Episcopal Soup Kitchen gives away a hot lunch 6 days a week to anyone that shows up. Lots of homeless and others in need go there. Youth for Christ, we work with a program that kind of comes alongside teen moms that are just kind of in the midst of struggle and kind of help support them and give them resources and teach them about Jesus. Samuel's House here in Kings County, which is a transitional housing program for men just to help them get back on their feet and reestablish. And then the King's Gospel Mission, which is a new partner, and it's a new ministry here in Hanford to reach the homeless and provide transitional housing and programs to help them get reestablished as well. And there's significant things that are happening. And so as we give to missions, this is the stuff that is happening. And we believe that the giants, that spiritual giants, are being established because of this, that God is doing something significant as a result. Now, did you guys notice I skipped one? Anybody? So I skipped China. That was actually on purpose. That wasn't an accident. Because we are hopefully going to connect with TJ and Katrina in China right now. And so if you don't know TJ and Katrina, they were on staff with us. TJ was our junior high pastor. They left, I think, about 8 months ago, did some training in Europe, and now they've been in China for 2 months. And so we're hoping that we have successful technological, whatever the word would be there. Andrew's trying to be the techie support here. Are you getting audio?
Hey.
Can you guys hear anything? Can you see anything?
Can
you hear us? We're getting it.
I can see you guys. Can you see us?
All right, we're good. Video booth. You guys got the feed. Hey, everybody, say hi to TJ and Katrina. So, I'll explain this in a minute. So, where you guys are at right now? What time is it?
4:15 a.m.
4:15 a.m. I'm trusting that maybe you guys had some coffee. You guys look actually pretty chipper for being middle of the night.
Yeah, I went to sleep at 6:30.
Oh, did you? Nice.
TJ didn't, so yeah. He's struggling.
Well, hey, it's so good to see your guys' faces. It's so good to hear your voices. Why don't you just kind of catch us up with what's going on with you guys?
Cool. Yeah, catch us up.
Yeah, we are here in Asia now. After a very intensive 5 month schooling we went through, and now we are just in a process of transitioning in here and experiencing all kinds of new things in this new world. I've had some culture shock with the food, with the people, with the environment, with the squatty potty, with the local viruses and bugs. But we are doing really great still, even with all of that going on.
So you say that transitional period right now, getting settled, you've been there 2 months.
Yes.
So TJ, what does that look like? What does that transitional period look like as far as what's your focus right now?
So right now we're basically just learning the language, learning the culture, and just building connections. We're trying to look at it more of a long-term investment, and so just trying to build that solid foundation right now. We just know everything is going to be an overflow of kind of what's happening in these first, you know, few months to even a couple years, right? And so we just want to make sure we can make it as good as we can, and just making that solid foundation so that we can, you know, do long-term work.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see in you guys, too, is you guys to get settled well as a family. If you guys don't know, they have two boys, Chaz and Tripp, who I'm assuming are sleeping right now.
Yeah, they're asleep.
You guys want to go wake them up so we can see them?
No.
All right.
No, because it might take them a while to get them back to bed, and we want to go to bed after this.
You don't want them up for the rest of the day. Yeah. What have you guys been learning over these last several months?
We have learned so much, and we are still processing what we have learned and what we are learning. Over the D school, we really have, in that whole process, we learned how to serve cross-culturally and what that looks like for a family. We have learned how to be dependent on dad in a whole new way. and what that looks like individually and as a family. Yeah. And we've learned how to lead and work with teams, and we are still learning all of these things. We have worked and partnered with families that are doing the same thing that we've been doing. They've been doing it for 25 years with families, and we have been encouraged and enlightened by them and their wisdom. And so, yeah, we've learned a lot and continue to learn.
Yeah.
And you will be for a long time now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How can we be just thinking of you guys, you know, just in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, well, like, basically the whole job right now, right, is just the language, the culture, and just learning how to do things here. And so if you guys would be thinking of us, just, you know, think that we can learn these things right, you know, so that we don't have to go back and relearn them. Even when it comes down to like learning the language, right, it's a tonal language. And so learning that we can learn the right tones so we can communicate clearly what it is, whether it's, you know, paying a bill or, you know, presenting, you know, the greater picture of us being here, right? And so if you can just keep those from the small things to, you know, even the big things like learning the language, you know, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we love you guys, and we're excited for what's happening, and we think of you guys frequently, and just are just excited to partner with you guys.
Yeah, love you guys, and thank you. Miss you guys, too.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to share before we close up shop here?
We do. I just want to continue to say thank you. Like, I mean, traveling throughout the different parts of the world we've been apart and seeing different fellowships and different gatherings and communities come together and whatnot. And really, like, we just are continually reminded every place we go how much of a gem Koinonia is and has been to us in equipping us with all the resources, with all the small groups and everything that is provided. There has really been a pivotal thing in teaching us how to persevere in times like these. And so we're just grateful for this body and the leaders. And just want to say thank you for that. We love you guys. And that was totally on my own merit. Nobody put me up to say that. we love you guys.
Hey, we love you guys too. And again, we'll be thinking of you. We'll probably think of you right now. We'll look forward to hearing this story unfold as you guys just continue to be faithful there.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right.
Hey, that's so cool, man. Yeah.
All right, love you guys.
Love you
guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I don't know if you picked up on the fact that we're using some code, and just given where they're at, there's just some, got to be sensitive with the way we communicate. And so we talk about dad and just thinking of you rather than praying for you and things like that. Just because of where they're at, there is a, you know, opposition to the gospel. And so we just kind of have to be careful in our communication and even careful on the web as a church as we kind of represent them with what we do. And so if you are on their mailing list, if you communicate with them, just please be aware of that. Just, you know, we don't want to say, hey, we're praying for you, the church is behind you, and go teach about Jesus, just because that could get red flagged by the government there if it goes through a server and they don't know what's being monitored. And so they're just being cautious in that. So, but since we just wrapped up that conversation, we want to think of them together as a community of faith. And so let's just pray for the Tamayos. Father, we just thank you for TJ and Katrina, their two boys, and just that your hand is upon them. And Lord, we just pray that during this season that you would continue to protect them and continue to lead them and continue to guide them, Lord, and that you would do those things that they need right now, that you would help them and just help their brains just to start to understand the language there, that their mouth and their tongue would be able to make the noises and the sounds that they need to make, and that you would just give them grace and mercy throughout that challenging process. And as they learn culture and just learn about the cultural nuances of that nation, that you would just be with them, assist them. I pray that you would draw people around them to help them through that process, to walk alongside with them. And then, Lord, we just also ask that you would just help them to make connections and connect with people and make relationships. And we just know that's not an easy process. And I just pray that you would be the one that is leading and guiding and laying that path before them, Lord, and just grant them favor in that place. Guide their steps. And I just pray for their boys, just, Lord, that you would just be with them as they adjust to this whole new world, Lord, that you would just be with those two boys and just protect them and help them as well, Lord. We just thank you for what they're doing. We believe that there will be giants to come from this, and it's just an honor to partner with them. And so we just pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. You know what they're doing there is possible because of this, because we give. And because we're willing to do so as a church. And so why do we talk about this? It's because lots of places in this world don't experience God's presence. They don't know about worship. And I believe that we are created by God to experience his presence and to worship him. And there's no one else, there's nothing else in the world that is worthy of worship but him. And there are places that don't know him, that don't know his presence, that don't worship him, don't know salvation found in Jesus. And we can be a part of that. And I believe like that the stories that we've told, that and when we have met a resurrected Savior and found Jesus Christ and placed our faith and hope and trust in him, he then puts us on mission. He calls us to be a part of this sharing of the gospel. He gives us and empowers us with the Holy Spirit. The question for us is, are we willing to tackle some of our giants so that God can build other ones? And some of that is materialism and comfort. And I know for me, it's like, I gotta be willing to make sacrifices so that I can give. Because 150 years from now, I believe that things will be different as we give. And again, as Andrew said earlier, our giving, it might feel like a little bit, but man, when it's all of our little bits put together, it's significant. And you know, $10 a month supports a widow in India, $40 for an orphan, $100 to help a pastor be able to do what God has called them to do. And so all of that matters. And so we're going to go back in just a brief song. And if you haven't filled that out, that pledge card, we're just going to collect those here in a moment after we finish this song. And we also kind of have been fasting over a couple weeks. And part of that was we fasted from restaurants. We fasted beans and rice, some of us. And that probably saved us some money. And so we're going to collect an offering for missions. And so just anything that comes in that's undesignated is going to go for missions. But we'll do a song and then I'll come back up and just kind of lead us in that final offering.
You.
invite the ushers to come down front to receive those pledge cards and those offering. I'm just going to invite us all to stand just here as we conclude our time together. And God has a heart for the nations. God wants to see people from every nation, from every tribe, every tongue, of every color, and come to know the saving grace of God expressed through Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's, man, what a great mission to be on. And just that we, together as a church, are put on that mission. And so let's just pray together, and, you know, even you can keep your eyes open as those buckets come by. But, Lord, we just commit this offering to you, and we just, the offering and the pledge cards, Lord, we just say use it for your glory, use it for your kingdom. We want to see your name famous in India, in Cambodia, in Ethiopia, in Mozambique, in Mexico, and in China, Lord, and here in Hanford, throughout Kings County, Lord. We want your name to be famous. We want people to experience your presence, to worship you and glorify you, and to experience the salvation found in no other name but Jesus Christ. And so right now, we just pray for those ministries, Lord. We just pray a blessing on them. We pray for just your provision upon them. We pray for your protection upon them. And we just pray that their words, their deeds, and their actions will be effective in spreading your kingdom through the farthest corners of this earth, Lord. Be with them, we pray. What an honor it is to partner with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, today is the last day that the missions walkthrough set up, and so don't miss out on that. Grab a prayer map on your way out. We believe prayer is important, and I know TJ and Katrina would love your prayers. PV and Molly, all the other missionaries and ministries would love your prayers. Grab one of those. Prayer teams will be down front if you want to come and get prayer, learn what it means to follow Jesus. There are teams that are here for you guys. God bless you guys.